So the first reading here is from Joshua chapter 1, beginning from verse number 1. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, is my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, as far as the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And in the New Testament, we read from James chapter 1, beginning from verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God the Father, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Would you please stand for the Gospel reading? Holy Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7, beginning from verse 24. Praise and glory to God. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word.
Wonderful. Take a seat. I hope we're recording. Are we recording? Excellent. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We want to be more like you and like your Son. Lord, as we gaze upon your Scriptures, as we gaze upon you, reflected through those Scriptures, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would transform us into your likeness, that we may be more like you. Amen. We all want to know how to live life well, don't we? We want to succeed, and it's always good to get pieces of advice. And sometimes those pieces of advice can be the last words. Someone is playing with my clicker. I've got it now. Thank you. Last words matter. So, for instance, some fantastic last words of Beethoven, as you know, or you may not know, that Beethoven was deaf. It has been said that his last words were, "In heaven I shall hear." You know, these last words are significant. And there are some last words that you should not take into consideration. So I thought I'd give you this. Can we have the volume up, please, Stu? Let's go backwards again. And let's try it one more time. There we go.
It says rat poison, not human poison.
Hey, let's do that thing where you drive a car at me and I jump over it.
Sure. I'll babysit your chimpanzee.
Why wouldn't you be able to mix ammonia and bleach?
Sharks don't attack people in t-shirts.
I figured out a great way to heat the tent. We just hooked the car's exhaust up to it.
We didn't wear helmets when I was a kid.
We didn't have to wear seatbelts when I was a kid.
We didn't have to cook pork to 160 degrees when I was a kid.
The fire extinguisher's empty. Get the hairspray!
Why else would they call them parachute pants?
How bad could bath salts be?
Nah, that's not a coral snake. That's a king snake.
I don't think I'm allergic to rabies.
I bet you I can eat this whole foot long without swallowing.
Let's play real life Frogger.
Ah, look, mushrooms.
Oh, look, berries.
Ah, look, stagnant water.
So I put this end on my finger, and then I grab the battery.
This is the deep end, right?
Hey, can you hand me the hairdryer?
It's impossible to swallow your own tongue. Watch.
If we leave this food out, the bears will see us as friends.
Life jacket schmife packet.
No, don't apply pressure to the wound. Just fan it.
Let's go to Tijuana.
Praise the Lord. There are some things, really, that you shouldn't do. Even though in the Sermon on the Mount, we're looking at the Sermon on the Mount now, and we're just coming into land after preaching this through from June last year. Even though these aren't Jesus' very last words, what were Jesus' very last words? It is finished. Wasn't that amazing? Amazing thing to say. Well, while he was in flesh, it is finished. Probably his last words were, "Go into the world." But that was his resurrection statement. Thank you, O Pentecostal biblical scholars. But we're looking at how to live life well, because we want, really, to look back at our life and go, you know, I think we got there. You know, I got there with some sort of sense of dignity and honor, and actually with integrity. And the Sermon on the Mount, is Jesus is the author and perfecter of our life. Now, if Jesus has given us life and he's shown us how to live life, surely it would make sense to listen to what he says. And so that's what we're trying to do in this series. And so we're now in this final section. And these closing statements, he encompasses the attitude and the angle of our life and the course on which we should be set. All of his teaching, we're encouraged to remember that the whole benchmark of living life well for Jesus is a statement that he made at somewhere just after the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and he said this: unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what Jesus is trying to do is to give us teaching in order that we might be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's quite useful. Well, I thought it was. Some are looking surprised, but it's true. But the intention is that we want to live a righteous life, but the reality is we know that it is so difficult. Romans 3 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is not a cop-out statement for us to live a messy life. It's just a reality that our life can be messy. But Jesus calls us to live this righteous life, but we know that none can be righteous, but we do know that Jesus lived a righteous life. So surely the key for our righteousness to surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law is to live in Jesus. And this is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. He says, God made him who was no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In other words, it is attainable, but only as we surrender and stand in Christ Jesus. Do you get it? So the teaching on the Sermon on the Mount is teaching on how to get in, how to put on the Jesus skin, how to live as he would have us live. Now, Jesus was talking to people in this last part of the sermon, these last three sections, about directions. The first direction that we were to take was either the narrow path or the broad road. And he said that the long road leads to destruction. Now, friends, these last three sections are all about us taking account of where we will end up before the throne of God. So that either the narrow or the broad path. Do you listen to the true words of prophecy, or do you listen to the things that you want to hear? Do you either listen to a false prophet or Jesus? And thirdly, on what do we build our life? Do we build it on rock, or do we build it on sand? Now, of course, it's a duh thing, but friends, you look around, there are plenty of houses built on sand. Actually, I was at a batch not long ago that was built on sand. And guess what? It was leaning a little bit. We'd always like to think, wouldn't we, that there's more than one way. More than one way to skin a possum or a cat. But actually, Jesus is saying there's not more than one way. There's one way to follow him or every other way. And every other way has an eternal consequence, as the same way as following Jesus has an eternal consequence. One is positive, that's the Jesus one, by the way, and the other one is a negative consequence. So Jesus comes to us and he says, how can we build our lives to ensure a secure future? Now, it's worth noting at this point that we all want to build a secure future for our families. It's a right thing to do. But friends, Jesus is talking not about you building a life for your family. He's talking about us building a life for ourselves. For our lives cannot save anybody else. You cannot save your husband or wife. You cannot save your brother or your sister. You cannot save your cousin. The only life you are responsible to make sure you get into heaven is yours. Therefore, build carefully. So, because Jesus says this in that previous section, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And interestingly, if you look in your Bibles, as I know that you do, it just says in that next session between the wise and the foolish builders, the word therefore. The word therefore is a word that means, in the light of that which has just been said, therefore. So Jesus is saying, not everybody will enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, those who hear these words of mine and put them into practice will enter the kingdom of heaven. So to guarantee your life and my life in Christ for eternity requires us to live in him, not sort of on him. Live in him. So Jesus uses he uses the analogy of building a house. And he uses two men, two houses, two foundations, and two results. Jesus says, one way or the other, will you succeed or not? So how can we build a secure future? Taking this passage, Jesus says to us, I find it interesting, verse 25 and then verse 27 are the same, but with a different result. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house. Same statement. That means, actually, friends, we need to be prepared for storms. Storms happen in life. If anyone has told you, if you give your life to Jesus, everything will be sweet as, don't listen to them. Your eternal destiny is sweet as. But friends, storms come. Now, we've got friends who are struggling with cancer. They love the Lord Jesus. People struggling in their marriage. Maybe you've been misunderstood at work, or you've had disappointments. Maybe you've been bullied at school. Heartbreak, unfulfilled longings, doubts, temptations, trials, attacks from others, attacks from friends, and attacks from Satan. Sickness, bereavement, persecution, even failure. Friends, storms happen. And I can guarantee you with a smiling face, they're going to happen again. Everyone in this room at one point will be bereaved. It's unavoidable because our lives, our flesh, will fail. So Jesus is saying how we build prepares us for the inevitable storms. A lighthouse is not built on sand. A lighthouse is built with a particular purpose, and that is to protect ships. And therefore, if you've got a lighthouse that's failing, you've got ships in danger. And so they build the lighthouse on the most solid piece of ground that they can find. Friends, the same principle for you and I. If we want to build a life that will withstand the storms that we will face, we need to build it in such a way that it will withstand the storm, not just get all wobbly. And friends, sometimes we get a bit wobbly, don't we? How many people enjoy a stormy life? Not many. But there are some people, actually, who when the storm hits, they doubt the existence of God. Or they stop going to church. Maybe they get disappointed that somebody that they love no longer is going to be caring for them. And they go, God, where are you? I'll do it on my own. Friends, we get that way because our foundations are not solid to withstand the storms of inevitable life. So how do we be prepared for those storms? Well, I think, friends, we work on our foundations. You know, when you build a house, you've got to find some solid ground. And then the first thing you do is work on the foundations. The house did not fall because it had its foundations upon the rock. The two builders in this parable, this story, this analogy or allegory, chooses a site and they both start to build. Now, Luke's version says that the person dug down, the wise builder dug down to find the stone, the rock on which he could then lay his foundations. So we can sort of assume, just for the sake of it, even though it's not necessarily, but let's say they're next door neighbors. One just has got the kids shouting them, when are we going to move in? And so he goes, well, I'm just going to skimp on digging 12-foot foundations. I'm just going to do 3-foot foundations and just see how we get on. And then the other one says, no. Kids, just be quiet. I need to dig this thing properly so we're here for a long time. And friends, our lives, our spiritual lives, can either be like a stone skimming across the surface. Let's just do the least that we can. Or actually, our lives can be built in such a way that we are going, I need to work on my foundations. Do you know, our lives are the only building in which we can work on the superstructure and the foundations at the same time and constantly visit those foundations. And we need those foundations for the storms. We build our foundations on the rock of Jesus. Jesus said, anyone who hears these words of mine is like someone who builds their house on a rock. In other words, the word of Jesus, the life of Jesus, is the rock on which we set our lives. So work on those foundations. Much in the same way that James, paraphrasing it, was saying, you walk into your bedroom or your bathroom and you look at yourself in the mirror and then you look away and forget what you look like. He says, when you look at Scripture, it reflects back to you that which you are called to be. Scripture reflects who you are in Christ. And therefore, we then match our lives in accordance with the reflection that Scripture gives us. But many of us look at Scripture, if we're lucky. Do you know 85% of the evangelical church in the United States only opens their Bible on a Sunday morning? And I would have to say, I think probably that's more or less around the world. Foundation work is to dig our foundations on soaking in God's word, no matter how boring it feels. Working on foundations, friends, is really boring, but it is worthwhile. And so James says, do what it says. And same as Moses saying to Joshua, don't let the book of the law of God depart from you, for in it you will prosper. And all will go well with you. The minute we depart from it is when things start going wobbly, when the foundations start weakening. We aim for a deep life, which means we take time to work at it. Jesus, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, spoke about the secret things, in other words, the foundational things in our life, about Matthew 6. He was saying the secret things are this: prayer, fasting, and giving. They're the things that help us build strong foundations in our lives. Lent is coming up. That's a great time in the Christian calendar to be able to prepare ourselves and look at our foundations. How is our worship going? How is my Bible reading going? Am I allowing God to alight His Spirit upon me to see if there's anything that's not as brilliant as it should be? And that's what Lent is about, 40 days of just saying, hey, I'm going to go for it. Do you know, self-denial is one of the things of in Lent. And you know, if you give up chocolate, God bless you. I know how hard it is to give up chocolate. I live with someone who loves chocolate. And I try and hide it, and she finds it. She loves it. And there is something physiological that happens particularly with women when it comes to eating chocolate. I don't understand it, but hey, God bless you. But friends, if you are going to give up chocolate or whatever it is you're going to give up, can I suggest that we flip it a bit? And we flip it in this way. We don't go, oh, I'm giving up chocolate, or I'm giving up drink, or I'm giving up speeding, or whatever it is. But just, you go like this. Hey, I'm giving up chocolate. This is great. This is foundation work. A little bit of self-denial is good for the soul because it shapes us into Christ's likeness. Why? Because Jesus wants us to flourish. Can you say to me, Jesus wants me to flourish? Of course He does. So we work on our foundations. Thirdly, we build with a long-term view. Friends, so often we just want a quick fix, and actually the culture becomes faster and faster. Instagram, Snapchat, Skadoodle, or whatever it's called, and Poodle, or Prang, or whatever it's going to be, we want instant communication really fast, or we get bored. Friends, we need to counter that with gazing at Jesus' face. Building our lives for a long-term view. The modern dream is to build our own house, isn't it? Let's put the same amount of effort into building our life as we want to in tending to our physical property. Maybe a bit of scaff needs to go up around you, and you need a few weatherboards scraped down during Lent. 1 Corinthians says this: be careful how you build, as the quality of your building will be tested as with fire, or as with extremely corrosive water. Why? Why are we to be careful as we build? Because Jesus wants me to flourish. Can you say that again? Jesus wants me to flourish. The last words in this sermon is a sort of a throwaway, but actually it leads us quite carefully to sewing the whole of the Sermon on the Mount up, because it says, They were astonished at Jesus' teaching because he taught as one with authority, not as their teachers of the law. How do you determine or testify that someone has authority? It's an internal response and understanding. And friends, we're called to respond to Jesus. We're called to match his stride. We're called to mimic and mime him in our lives. We're called to move with him. Whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, friends, there's no quick fix. This is a long-term project to enter the kingdom of heaven. So our life is a life of response, digging down, hitting the rock, and anchoring ourselves to it. So in Jesus and listening to him and obeying him and seeing him and listening to the words, we are encouraged by the Sermon on the Mount to maybe be a bit more like this. Are we peacemakers? Do we look not to rev up a problem, but actually to help be part of the solution? Do we have a pure heart? Do we want to live a full and abundant life, living in right relationship with one another? To be light in the dark world, seeking reconciliation instead of revenge, not being a slave to sexual desire, but actually also protecting marriages. Being people of integrity, you know, keeping our word. You know, it's very hard to be people who keep our word, but it needs work. Do we love those who hate us? Do we go the extra mile? Do we walk that extra mile? Actually, it was Max who said the thing about walking a mile in someone else's shoes is by the time you've walked a mile, you're a mile away from that person and you've got their shoes, which is great fun. Do we ensure that our acts of worship are consistent with our belief? The way that we pray, the way that we give, the way that we fast. Are we abundant people? Are you an abundant person? Abundance speaks of knowing that you're flourishing. Do we choose not to allow money to have control over us? Because friends, if we don't, it will. Do we choose not to worry about death or anything by holding fast to the promises of God? He says, do not worry. And do we seek the kingdom of God above anything else? Are we careful not to be judgmental about, are you ready for this? Are you careful not to be judgmental about anyone or anything? Oh, can't I just be a little bit judgmental? Do you know, it is by grace we've been saved. Grace upon grace upon grace is what we offer to those that we disagree with. Grace upon grace upon grace. Because love is transformative. Do we have an expectant life of asking and expecting to receive from God? Ask and you will receive. Do we pray as if, Lord, if you're not too busy, if you don't mind, could I just have a little bit? No, Lord, give me. Lord, you said you'd give. So I'm full of faith. And are we determined to walk the narrow path? Life is meant to be a celebration of the life that Jesus has given us, not a walking of utter misery. Do you know, when you come into church, are you full of the expectant life and joy of Jesus? If you are, inform your faith. Because sometimes it doesn't look like it. Jesus has saved me. He saved us. It's a joyful thing. It's a serious thing. But we're saved. Do you know how has anyone been saved by a lifesaver, by a surf lifesaver? Were you grateful? Yeah. Well, Jesus is bigger than a surf lifesaver. And the gratitude shall be so much more. Friends, we're called to be responsive to the Lord because he wants my life to flourish. He wants my life to flourish. Doing all this shows that we start to build our house on the rock. We become able to withstand the storms that will come, and we will not be shaken, because that's who God is. He's unshakable, and in Him we are unshakable. I don't know where it is, so you'll just have to figure that out later. Do a Google image search. But friends, we're called to live life well. We're called to live it ridiculously, abundantly, hilariously, joyfully, wonderfully in Him. That's what it means to live, to build our life on the words of Jesus. In Jesus, we dig down into the rock. We build a foundation that enables us to withstand. We have a long-term view, and we are responsive to the call of Jesus. Shall we pray? Let's stand. Just going to invite the Spirit of God to come to search us. We're going to wait on Him. We're going to run over in time. But do you know God is outside of time? Lord, we trust You. Lord, if there are times, Lord, when we have not been grounded and anchored to You, and we have failed in the storm, Lord, we pray, strengthen us. Help us to work on our foundations, Lord. In the good times, in the bad times, in the disappointments and the triumphs. I just sense there's a number of you out there who just feel that you've disappointed Jesus, that your life is a sham, and the only way we can cope with that is by coming back to Jesus. Just resurrender to Jesus. Father, we're sorry, Lord, for the times, Lord, where we have let You down. We've marred Your image in us. Lord, we're determined, Lord, to build our foundations. In Jesus' name.